Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want to say.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no,
you
it make does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
So, in full disclosure, I had a great conversation with the mayor this morning, so I understand nothing's binding. So do we anticipate having further discussions with all of the entities that are going to participate? I mean, because, you know, I've long said that, you know, school board, if we're going to talk about graduations, if we're going to talk about state tournaments, I mean, they should be a partner in the equity participation, not just the decision-making participation.
We've not spoken with the school board. We have met with the city, the mayor and his staff. It was a pretty decent meeting, I think, and shared some of our thoughts and ideas of where we're headed and how our methodology, how we're going to get there.
All right, so Lumen May there, Wes Moreno talking, and this is at the COW, the committee, the whole meeting yesterday morning, talking about the Bay Center of the future, the thing that we've had a gajillion studies and a gajillion meetings and a gajillion comments, and still nobody really knows exactly what the decision is. We basically have three options. Option number one is for a Bay Center renovation, which everybody agrees that has to be done. Rob Hogan, facilities manager.
What's going to be included? Phase one will be the improvements to the Bay Center, the existing Bay Center building itself. There's interior improvements and exterior improvements listed. We've projected the cost, an escalated cost for 2028 based on the numbers that were provided by Populous in February. So for this project, phase one, we're looking at an estimated cost of $74 million.
All right, that's swallowable. You know, that's doable, and it'll turn the Bay Center from what it is now, which is a languishing, outdated, old facility. You know, basically rescue the bones and fix everything else, and we can make it something that'll capture some of the larger, acts that need a larger venue, larger seats, better facilities, higher weights. There's all the things we've talked about in the past, and a variety of seating configurations that allow for the higher end spender and all that. You know, we're trying to make the Bay Center a more modern facility, and we do not have to build one from scratch like Mobile. We can do it this way. Then second, the event center.
Then phase two would be development of the event center itself. That cost has gone up. The original cost was 84.4. It's now up to 87.9. That's estimated, escalated 2028 cost.
And which, again, that's the one that's like, we really think we want to. We're not quite sure. That's the one that seems to have the most payoff. Instead of building a sports facility, you're going to build a kind of an event center so that you can have, I mean, it might do some sports stuff, but it's primarily meant to be, you know, convention light or, you know, whatever. But it's still going to depend on having a big ballroom. So you have the in one place where everybody can dine together. That's kind of the idea. And then the third possibility is?
Phase three is two options. We have two options there. One is a parking structure, an independent parking structure. And the other option is the ice rink.
And those are two, you might think, how are those related? Well, it's because of the footprint that we're talking about, because location for the parking structure is very contingent on other things that get built on the property. One possibility would be northeast corner with an ice rink, southeast corner, that's up against 9th Avenue, okay, Gregory and then Chase, would be a hotel. the county's obviously not going to build a hotel. It seems like the ice rink has fallen out of, you know, favor. I don't hear it being talked about a lot. But that's space where you could build a parking structure. We'll get to that in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I-10 and 110 both continue to flow smooth. Mobile Highway clear through Beulah. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're looking for something sweet today, either as a gift or a treat for yourself or catering, you know, if you need a birthday party or a wedding or something like that catered, Small Cakes, Cupcake, and Creamery does outstanding work. Their ice cream, hand-churned, everyday, creamy, flavorful, birthday cake flavor, vanilla bean, blue monster cookie, chocoholic, salted caramel. That's my personal favorite. Cookies and cream, all fantastic. The cupcakes, equally luscious, a little bit more solid, you know, you can hold them in your hand. Red velvet, lemon drop, wedding cake, pink vanilla, hot fudge sundae, birthday cake flavor, all kinds of exotic things. We had some the other day and they were so good. Freshly baked gourmet, their slogan is maybe a cupcake will help, which, yeah, man, they sure came. Smallcakescupcakery.com. Stop by today or, you know, look them up online. I know they're not open just yet, but they will be later. Next to the Starbucks and the Chick-fil-A on Bayou and 9th Avenue. Back to the conversation about the Bay Center. Mike Kohler asked the question about parking.
Do we have a site for the parking structure? Because in the design we never did originally, has that been identified?
The original concept for that was provided to us had a hotel on the Bay Center property. If we're not going to be putting that hotel up and there's no interest in that, we can go and put an independent parking structure there. We've also considered adding one or two decks of parking underneath the event center itself. One deck would conserve the existing parking on the surface. The second deck would add another approximate 100 or 500 parking spots.
Now, that's kind of an interesting proposal that maybe you could do it under the event center and have an elevated event center. I had a weird idea. I don't think this is feasible, but I'm just going to say it so that it doesn't go unsaid. I wonder if you could build a two-level parking structure with the intent of building a hotel on top of it without actually building the hotel yet. You know, like you could basically make it prepped for building a hotel with, and then continue looking for the hotelier to ever develop it. Not that they would have to. It may be a crazy idea, but that was one thing I was thinking about. But also, yeah, where to build a parking structure. And a parking structure is going to be expensive. $40,000 per space-ish is what they paid at HCA Florida West when they did theirs. So for, you know, what, for 1,000 spaces, it's $40 million. I mean, it's a lot of money. This is no small... And then where are you going to put it? The tech park, on the parking lot?
Okay. So we could do an independent structure out there on the corner of Chase, East Chase, and 9th. Or we could, if we don't proceed with the ice rink, we could make that whole frontage on 9th Street, 9th Avenue there, a... parking facility.
So basically everything from Gregory to Chase on 9th could become a parking structure. That's one possibility, of course. And, you know, location and cost are big issues here. Wes Moreno says they've been talking with the city about, you know, what their plans are, working on this interlocal agreement that created all this fake drama yesterday that, you know, everybody seems to think it's a big deal. I thought it was a nothing burger. DC, and you know, they talked about this. It was on the agenda. It wasn't like they were trying to hide the fact that they were working on an interlocal, but that suddenly became a big point of drama and contention in the meeting. How dare they? What? Anyway.
So the concept that we laid out, where we're laying out this morning, was we had positive feedback. Councilman Patton was there, and the mayor was there. David Stafford was there. I think their economic development person was there. It was good feedback. Everybody seemed to think we were heading in the right direction. As far as the hotel, my understanding, or what I took from the meeting, was that the city was going to be working to purchase the hotel or work some arrangement out with the hotel next door.
And wait, what now?
We would not be tasked with the hotel. So that's why we kind of shifted our focus to parking. But we were going to leave the hotel to the city.
So did the city make a commitment on the hotel, Wes?
They said they were working to acquire the hotel.
Hmm.
Now,
the existing,
existing deal is, I don't know. I don't know where they're at with that.
That is interesting that the city, apparently, according to Wes Moreno, D.C., says that they're trying to buy the Grand Hotel. Interesting. Because they'd also been talking about having a partner come in and build a hotel. And, you know, I don't know if the Grand Hotel alone would be adequate. There's kind of this chicken and egg problem, too, because you want the region there to be thriving. Like, if there's an event center and a refurbished Bay Center, then obviously hoteliers can make money. But how can you really do the event center and the Bay Center without the hotels? Like, you kind of want it all at the same time to really make it work. So that part was kind of fascinating. Then you had this from Jeff Broderson, who is the assistant county attorney. I had no idea this was coming, and this was a fascinating piece of information to me. Who owns it? Well, we used to think that the county owned it, and then we learned that actually the city owns it. Well, it turns out even that's not quite right. Like, the city owns it, and therefore they have to agree for major changes in the structure. They own the land. Just wait.
We were asked to provide some legal analysis from a real property perspective. The first issue is that, just for clarification, the property is subject to a lease agreement. It's both with the FDOT and the City of Pensacola. FDOT owns the majority of the property. The City of Pensacola owns kind of the eastern parking lot area. So it's actually a sublease and lease agreement all within one lease agreement.
And I went and looked because I was curious if that was true. And sure enough, everything from basically like where you're at 9th Avenue, the first 2/3 of the parking lot going west actually belongs to the city. Everything past that, like the green space, the obviously the highway wraparound, and then even about 1/3 of the parking lot, plus the Bay Center, plus all of the parking lot on the other side going over to Alkenes, that all belongs to FDOT. FDOT owns it. So, wait, so who gets to sign off on these things then?
The operative part of the lease, as it relates to us, is that any material changes and material alterations to any structures require prior written approval from the City of Pensacola, and it must also be expressly approved in advance by Florida Department of Transportation.
Oh, sweet. Now FDOT can say no. They have to be involved in all of this.
There hasn't been any a contact that I'm aware of with FDOT in the 40 years, or any material contact with FDOT in the 40-plus years that the lease is going on, so I don't perceive any problems with FDOT, and also I'm not aware of any issues with the City of Pensacola over those 40 years either. But just to put that out there, you know, technically there is that prior written approval required under the lease.
No. I don't think it's a problem. FDOT has said they don't care about the wraparound. Like, that can go away, although they're not going to pay for it to be removed. It'll certainly have to go away if they do the expansion to the event center, any other construction on the property for sure. But I just thought it was interesting because I had no idea that FDOT actually owns probably 3/4 of that property, and then there's a little bit owned by the city. And he didn't clarify. I assume that then the lease is that, like, basically the city owns the lease to the property, and then the county is like a sublessee on the Bay Center itself. But I mean, that's interesting. So we're going to actually have to call FDOT to get final approval on all this, which may be no problem. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a problem. And never to be one not to ask the possibility of raising taxes to pay for something Lumen May.
Stephen, can we levy another penny?
Not
statutorily,
that
or we can't.
Not that I'm aware of.
We can't. So we're at the max of what we can levy.
Yes, sir.
That would be to make the 5th cent, a 6th cent, a 7th cent, something like that. Which there's a good conversation to be had about that. Costs out of town people rather than in town. But I remember Doug Underhill was very vivid in his vote against the 5th cent before, that he said Escambia County people vacation to the beach too, and they pay hotel taxes when they take in county vacations, essentially. So what was the big takeaway from all this? Well, they're going to do the renovation. They really want to do the event center. They're not quite sure what to do about the hotel, the ice rink, the parking structure. I don't think there was any super clear guidance. There's even some disagreement about what the shape of the event center and other things are going to be. So largely we talked about it a bunch, and in the end, we're not a lot different from where we were before, but that's par for the course. You know, not a lot of progress made necessarily, but still, this is a useful conversation. We're talking about, you know, a couple $100 million in the end. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you lock yourself out of your car or your house or your business, Ace Unlocks, they do that, okay? And they've been doing that for certainly for cars since 1998. They started, you know, doing a lock out of your car service at UWF, a couple cars a day. You know, $20 basically. And, you know, they thought there'd just be a few, and they were flooded with requests, which, you know, it's still only $25 for students. But that's not the key to their business anymore. Nowadays, they're making fobs, you know, cutting keys. And not just, I mean, anybody can cut the old kind of keys, but this is like the laser key cuts that are very specific. They have all the technology. They have the exact same equipment the dealerships have, all the access to the software. They can do that. They did that for me for my Civic, made me a second key because that car had only ever come with one, and it was great. Fob worked perfectly, and it was cheaper than the dealership. Damaged keys, you know, second key, broken, dropped it, put it in the wash, lost it, whatever the case may be. That's actually their biggest revenue source, is helping people get new keys. Residential, rekeying, installing locks, keypad locks, app-based locks is kind of a new thing. Business, same thing. 24 hours a day, Ace Unlocks, 505-7545, located at Airport and the Railroad Tracks. Mention my name and get 10% off.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nicewanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nicewanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's creation, and marvelous are His works. You bear the stamp known as the Imago Dei, as you are made in the image of God. So there's no sense in worrying about how tall or short you are. There's no sense in comparing your looks to the looks of someone else. God made you just as you are. The Bible says He covered you in your mother's womb. He formed you in her belly. Psalm 139:17 says that you are in God's thoughts. I'm telling you, He loves you very much. The exact way He made you provides you unique opportunities to live for His glory. So praise Him for His marvelous works.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
But the only problem with an honest buck is they're so hard to make. The margins are too low. Too many people are doing it.
Call you the Lord of War. It's Warlord. I like it better my way. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Tennessee will soon be electing its first female governor in Thursday's primary elections. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn became Tennessee's Republican nominee for governor. Her opponent in November's election would be Memphis City Councilwoman Jerry Green, who won the Democrat primary. Researchers have now, for the first time, used artificial intelligence to create a functioning synthetic virus. Nothing terrifying about that. The Stanford-led team is hoping the technology will lead to medical benefits, like using AI-created viruses to kill E. coli and fight drug-resistant bacteria.
Oh, did you hear the report at the 5 o'clock hour that Fox did on the war-fighting robots that they're making to be humanoid-style? Like, have you not seen the movies? I mean, I don't know which is worse. Are we building war-fighting robots that do look like humans and therefore are Terminators? Or building war-fighting robots that don't look like humans and are even worse than Terminators?
News, I'm CJ Pop. A major roadblock for Todd Blanche, who wants to ditch the interim label and become President Trump's full-time U.S. Attorney General thanks to a decision from a senator from Alaska.
Lisa Murkowski says she will oppose Todd Blanche's nomination. Murkowski says, quote, the country needs an attorney general who will check the worst impulses of this administration.
Fox's Chandler Painter, A.G. Blanche, can only lose one more senator since Maine's Susan Collins. The senator will vote no against him. President Trump signs a pair of executive orders on birthright tourism and birthright citizenship.
We had a very unfortunate decision in the Supreme Court concerning birthright. It was close, but a very, very unfortunate decision. So we're making adjustments.
The ACLU says it'll fight it. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 82 degrees right now. We've got partly, mostly cloudy skies here this morning. We'll check in with Brooke Richardson, get a full look at our forecast. That's up here in just a couple of minutes. An Escambia County Commissioner says any agreement over the future of the Bay Center shouldn't be negotiated with just one partner. Commissioner Lumen May questioning why county staff were in talks with the city of Pensacola without also bringing in other stakeholders like the school board, who he says could have a role in the project.
I don't know, Wes, if it's in the best interest to have negotiated, you know, with the city without having negotiation with multiple partners. Is that the protocol in which it's going to be the most effective for us? I mean, because, you know, obviously there are a lot of questions. I mean, it's just not, you know, the end users are the citizens. And so how should we collaboratively make sure that everybody's at the table before we have negotiations?
County staff say they've only formally met with the city so far and have not yet reached out to other potential partners. Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, along with the city of Pensacola, are asking residents to take a survey on housing access. The Fair Housing Survey is open online through October 16th. It takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Officials say the results will help guide housing planning and identify barriers across the community. Paper copies of that survey are also available at local libraries and housing offices in both counties. Well, organizers say there is still time to sponsor the Pete Moore Memorial Golf Classic, which benefits the Santa Rosa Kids House. Sponsorship levels for that range from $125 for a tee sign up to $2,500 for a top-tier gold sponsorship. Organizers say all the proceeds help to fund critical services for local children and families. Congressman Jimmy Patronis wants to build a new National Veterans Cemetery on Eglin Air Force Base. Patronis says roughly 100,000 veterans call Northwest Florida home. Right now, the closest options for people that live in that area are either Pensacola or Tallahassee. A steering committee will choose an exact site and work could begin as soon as September. Patronis says the funding would need to cover land clearing, irrigation, and utilities before construction can move forward. Senator Rick Scott has introduced a bill aimed at addressing long-term trade deficits with foreign countries. The Trade Deficit Elimination Act would let the U.S. Trade Representative adjust tariffs on countries running trade deficits with America. Scott says the goal is protecting American workers and leveling the playing field. Senators Kevin Cramer and Tim Sheehy are sponsoring the bill. Surveillance cameras used by law enforcement are being targeted in Central Florida. Somebody apparently cut down a Flock camera Tuesday in Port Orange following similar incidents in Claremont, DeBary, and Austin. Critics say the cameras raise privacy concerns. Officials say they're only used for active investigations with privacy protections in place. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, and New Warrington all checking in accident-free. Just one accident on the board, and that is going to be 9 Mile Road at Nature Creek Boulevard. No roadblock there. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful summertime day today with a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Heading into Sunday, a 30% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, high near 89 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 83 degrees with cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Job growth is not expected to show much improvement in July, with payrolls and the unemployment rate expected to hold relatively steady. CNBC analysts predict that non-farm payrolls are expected to post a gain of just 83,000, with the unemployment rate staying unchanged at 4.2%. Sweetgreen cut its full-year outlook as consumer cyclospora fears weighed on its sales. The salad chain has not been implicated in the ongoing outbreak, but other restaurant chains not linked to the contaminated iceberg lettuce have also seen their sales fall. Its shares dropped 15% after the numbers were released. Savers Value Village told CNBC that it is launching a new AI pricing tool to keep product prices consistent and low. CEO Mark Walsh said the technology has already been piloted in 58 stores and has been a success. The advancement comes at a time when secondhand, retail, and thrift markets are becoming more mainstream. Futures have risen this morning. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Tall Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just
It is our monthly check-in with a good friend, our farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. They do cotton, they do peanuts, they do all kinds of stuff, experimental crops, corn particularly, do experiments with that. And we always like to find out what's going on with the other two-thirds of the land mass in our counties once a month. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. So you just got back from a totally non-working, 100% relaxation-oriented vacation in Scottsdale.
That's right. That's how we roll. I take a lot of vacations.
Yeah. So what's the truth behind the trip to Scottsdale?
That was, I'm a board director for Cotton Incorporated, which is the cotton industry's I guess you'd say we're their research and development and promotion arm, kind of the cotton industry. So, we had our.
How big is this board? Just out of curiosity.
Say that again.
How big is this board? How many people are on this board?
There are, depending on how much cotton is grown in your state, each cotton growing state has representation. They're probably, they're probably 60 or 70 of us there, okay. I would say.
But you're one of them. All right, cool. I mean, I did. That's, we've been talking for years and years, and I did not know this. So very interesting. What'd you guys work on?
It's one of my more favorite boards that I serve on. It's neat getting to see, you know, everything cool started as a stupid or a dumb idea. You know, that'll never work type idea.
Right, yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So every time we have a meeting, it's like, golly, how did anybody even think of that? That don't make any sense. And then, you know, 10 years from now, it'll come to fruition, and it'll be, boy, that was the best idea I've ever heard of.
Right. Everybody was there at the meeting where it came about when it turns out good. Nobody owns it when it wasn't good.
That's right. I mean, yeah, for every 10 ideas, probably only one of them works out. But still, I mean, the whole goal is for us to find more places to send our cotton to, right, to make different things out of cotton that we're not currently making, or to make growing cotton easier, to make harvesting cotton easier. You know, it's all those types of things. And it's just something that really – you know, there's some people that are really interested in policy and things like that, which is also extremely important. But the research and development part is something that I'm very passionate about. So I fit in good with this organization.
All right. So I have a kind of an out of left field question, but I'm curious about this. My perception of the world is that lots of the textile use or manufacturing, you know, like making shirts and all that kind of stuff, is done in other parts of the world, particularly in Asia. And yet we make so much of the cotton here. So two parts. Are we still like the world source of cotton? And what is it about the U.S. that makes us so uniquely able to do cotton?
Andrew, you're fouling up my farm fact.
Save it for the end. That's a little tease, a little radio production there. You can tease it for the end. Okay, fair enough. All right, good. We'll get there eventually. What are y'all doing on the farm these days?
Well, while I was gone, my guys began shelling corn, began harvesting corn for the year. So it looked to me like we did some custom work for one of my buddies. Looks like it's going to be kind of an average year. You know, it's been a challenge with the weather this year. And that's one neat thing about getting to go to these meetings is networking with guys from all over the country and hearing their problems and what's working for them and what isn't working for them. And, you know, we've all got our little problems from our little part of the world. But just like we've had this year, you know, the ups and downs, the swing so much with the rain and the drought, that's really plagued a lot of people. I was amazed at the amount of people across the cotton growing belt that, you know, have been going through the same exact things we have with the weather. So we've had the droughts and we've had the excessive rainfall. Now we're back in the drought. So, you know, things are looking pretty tough for us right now. And I think that's some of why we're just going to have an average kind of average or maybe a little below average corn season was, you know, corn's very, when it needs its water, it needs it then. It doesn't need it a week or two later or whatever. It's got to have it right then or you miss the whole boat. There's not a big window there. to work in. So I think corn's probably going to be just probably a touch below average this year.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Quick timeout for traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, Andrew. No accidents or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, I know sometimes, you correct me if I'm wrong, what may not be the best for one crop is actually pretty good for another crop. We always talk about the number of heat units you need to bring the best yield out of the cotton, and it certainly has been hot enough this year. Is the heat good for the cotton, or are there missing elements? How's the cotton shaping up?
The cotton was looking really good until about a week or so ago.
Oh, what happened?
And now, and we did get, and we have gotten a lot of heat units, which is good. It's really progressed the cotton very fast. But with that, you know, that tells it, hey, I need to put this crop on so it stops growing vegetatively and starts the reproductive phase of its growth and really starts putting the sprout all over the cotton, which every piece of fruit requires more and more nutrients and more water, and we just haven't gotten the water, so the plant's kind of finishing up in a hurry and basically has finished right now because there's no water left to support the fruit that's on it. Some of the fruit's starting to fall off of it, so until we get another rain, it's basically, you know, it can't hold any more than what it already has. Uh-huh. And it currently doesn't have enough, so we're still hoping for, you know, if we could get some rain within the next week, we would probably be okay. But if it's a month from now before we get any rain, it's not going to be a very good cotton crop.
Okay, so you can have not enough heat can be a problem, and then you can have too much heat, and especially if it's too much heat with not enough water, that can be a problem, and it's always that finding the sweet spot in between them. Okay.
It is. I'm telling you, you can never just get it just right and be just happy. But, you know, God always blesses us and makes up for all of our mistakes. And I sure hope we're sitting here in November talking about how good a cotton crop we have.
What about peanuts? You know anything yet? I mean, I would assume that the heat and the lack of water would be bad for the peanut prospects.
Usually by now we'd know a little bit more about our peanuts. But you got to remember, basically we didn't get to plant anything in the month of May because of the excessive rainfall. So
we're pretty much
30. I feel like our crop in general, peanuts and cotton both, and soybeans as well, are 30 to 45 days behind schedule. So at this point, where your mind tells you should be doing this and that and should be looking for this and that, but then you have to remember, hey, this crop is 30 to 45 days late, so we really shouldn't be worrying about that just yet.
Okay.
I'm concerned about it, but like I said before, now the thing we have to really worry about, other than, of course, the rainfall, that's a big thing, and peanuts need a lot of water right now at this part of their life to fill out the peanuts that they're putting on.
Okay.
But you have to start thinking about that mid to late October frost / freeze. You know, is it going to be one of those years where we have an early frost or freeze? Versus sometimes it's Thanksgiving before we have one. So
the delays have pushed the entire scope back, which is problematic, maybe. And you got to kind of fight your normal sense of timing, because where you expect things to be at, they're not. But you can understand why. And I particularly appreciate the explanation on the cotton that you basically have. It's gone too quickly through its cycle because it's trying to produce the fruit to reproduce, when it's not really as conducive to maximum amount of reproduction as you would like for it. That was really interesting. That's a new insight for me. Yeah. We always like to end with a farm fact or a did you know. What do you got for me this week, Ryan?
Yeah, so you started in on me earlier.
That's right. Tell me about the cotton question I asked earlier. Do we produce cotton for the whole world, and why are we so good at it?
So we produce every year is different. But we produce typically between 13 and 17 million bales of cotton per year. The United States does. And of that 13 to 17 million bales, would you like to guess what percentage gets exported?
Oh, no, I'm going to sound 70%.
97%.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, we basically have hardly any domestic use anymore. You know, we export it and they turn it into garments and sell it back to us. And I think we have failed miserably at that. But anyway, but we are still the number one exporter in the world of
97%.
Cotton. We're about the number three. We were always the number three grower behind China and India.
Yeah.
And now we trade places for number three and number four. We're back and forth with Brazil. Brazil is really coming on in agriculture and is really starting to take our place in some places. So that's a concern for us. They're really doing well there and becoming a huge competitor in almost every sector that we deal in.
Interesting. Yeah. And so it's not, the U.S. is not uniquely capable of doing this. And in fact, I mean, obviously cotton production goes a long way back in the history of the country. So interesting. Hey, last thing, only because I just saw this and I know you're a Auburn grad, War Eagle.
I'm not Auburn grad. I'm just honored.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're a fan like me then. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Have you seen the firefighting robot Centaur that Auburn is developing? Have you seen this thing?
No, I have not.
Okay. Just you when you get a chance, you Google it. Centaur robot Auburn firefighting. And it's terrifying.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the four-legged
yes.
thing that's got horns
yes.
on?
Yes, yes.
I have seen that.
The
yes,
demon,
yes, yes, yes.
The all its black, yes. The demon centaur with the horse body or the big, you know, metalhead yes. dog. Ah! And it's made at Auburn. They're making it at Auburn.
I think they should have made it like Albie. I mean, come on, don't make that devil-looking thing that they
made.
I agree with you.
This is a branding mistake. Oh, my God. You see that thing coming at you in the forest, and you're just like, shoot your bazooka, drop your grenade, run anything.
I promise you.
All right. Yeah. Well, always good to talk to you, Ryan. Thanks so much for the time. Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Keep doing what you do. You know, I appreciate you putting clothes on my kids' backs and feeding them. I certainly appreciate it. Every time I have anything with a peanut in it, I think about you, Ryan.
Well, thank you all for having us and for helping us get the word out. And everybody have a good weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about moving or picking up a rental property, short-term, long-term, whatever the case may be, going to the beach, moving to the country, moving to or perhaps from Milton. it's a great place to live. Just got super weird politicians leading it. A lot of times. Not all of them. Some of them. Anyway, there are lots of houses, and Christina Leavenworth is very, very good at finding the right one for you, figuring out what you want. And if you're selling, you know, figuring out how to make it the thing that other people want. And, you know, a lot of times that's little stuff. She was telling me recently about a house that just kind of wasn't getting the kind of offers that she was hoping for. And they looked at it and it was painted, like the interior was like this kind of sea coastal yellow. And she's like, you know what? Let's just repaint it white. Let's just make it off-white or whatever. And immediately the house sold. And it's that kind of knowledge of how to get the best out of the property you're trying to sell or to get the best in what you're trying to buy that really makes her team click. And she's been doing it so effectively for so many years now. And last year sold 206 homes. So they know. Give her a call, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Tune in Tuesday at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in Tuesday at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on their calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 14th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark. You'll hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who've benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000. This year, help us raise funds for the Pediatric Sedation Suite.
Thank you.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light, and our hope sponsors, Stifel, Navy Federal Credit Union, Walmart, and Sam's Club. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability in housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice, Colonel Eric W. Shorter, for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Okay.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret.
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed.
I got a correction. It's not Auburn, like Alabama Auburn. It's Auburn, California, where they make this thing. It's a company called Satrus. Satrus? I don't know. This thing is horrifying. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash. Nature Creek Boulevard at West 9 Mile Road. No roadblock associated with that one. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock that just popped up. Johnson Avenue at Lawton Street in Pensacola. Use caution. I'm PJ with traffic on the five.
Oh, and also, I do have some update. The rumor started by County Administrator Wes Moreno that the city was trying to buy the Grand Hotel turns out not to be the case. I talked with TC about this real briefly, and I found out that no, they're not trying to buy the Bay Center. What they are doing is they're just in talks with them to try to figure out what to, you know, what they can accomplish and, you know, how they can basically get it back into use. They're open to maybe some tax abatement, but they're definitely not buying it. You know, he doesn't think they can do any better than the private market to bringing this to development also. And also the whole issue with the interlocal agreement that has gotten so much hubbub. They had talked about this at the last meeting. I don't know why the commissioners act like this is a big deal. The purpose of the interlocal is just so that if an outside developer who's interested in becoming a party to all of this and, you know, taking over the role of shepherding it like they kind of want, looks at it and is like, oh, I don't know, they're two different governments. You know, I don't know if I want to deal with that. The whole purpose of the interlocal is to be like, we are on the same page. We're working together. And so it's meant to streamline things. It's not meant to be some big substantial thing. So, you know, I'm sure he'll pull it from the meeting, and then we'll see if the county commissioners can do this right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Now, the felony case has been dismissed against the former Olympian accused of vandalizing the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool yesterday. A D.C. judge officially dismissing the charge against Olympian canoeist David Hearn after Janine Pirro called for that case to be dropped. A judge has approved a $106 million settlement in the years-long legal battle over the 2019 Hard Rock Hotel collapse in New Orleans. The partially built hotel collapsed in October 2019, killing three people and damaging nearby businesses. The settlement resolves claims from about 500 plaintiffs. Andrew, it's not been good for Mexican cuisine lately. First, it was the Taco Bell lettuce. And now jalapenos from a San Diego distributor are linked to a potential salmonella outbreak at Chipotle and Qdoba restaurants. The jalapenos from Coast Citrus distributors were sourced from Sinaloa, Mexico.
And, home of cartels everywhere.
And at least 36 people so far have been hospitalized.
Yeah, it's, again, not that many people and, you know, cooking them, whatever. But, you know, it's funny. When I saw this report, my first thought was, I can't remember if I wash my jalapenos off or not when I buy them.
I never have.
And I don't think I do normally.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.